Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Matthew 28, 28:19. Well, we have such a great group of young children every week. We thank you all, parents, for bringing them. So really, I want to talk about three different passages of scriptures. One here you know very well. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Isaiah 6:8 says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I go? Or who shall ascend? And who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning that we can come into your word and hear it. Lord, to speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, I thank you that as we enter this sanctuary this morning, Lord, that we would put everything on hold in our lives and just let you speak to us this morning. Open up our eyes and the ears that we might hear. And God, will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Praise God for the message of salvation. Years ago, I heard the message of salvation, and it changed my life. Literally changed my life. I've never been so happy as the day that I got saved, and now I'm secure in Christ Jesus. I know if I died today, I would go spend eternity with my Lord and Savior. I am secure in what I believe, and I hope you are secure in what you believe. And today, as we look at God's Word, I want you to think just for a moment on the message of God and how we can evangelize the world. We're talking about giving at the end of this month at least $7,000 to evangelize in the United States of America, in North America. Lord, I just pray that we'll all do our part, that we might send our missionaries right here in our own wonderful nation, that they might hear the gospel. There's people all out there in our world. You saw this young man and his wife, as God had called them different places. I have been to North Dakota. I've been to Oregon. I've been to Colorado and different places where they don't have the gospel like we have, or they're cold and indifferent to the gospel of Christ. And I praise God that as we went to those places, He, through the power of the Holy Spirit, just opened up the hearts of the people. Jesus says in Matthew 28, "Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded, and I will be with you." Praise the Lord. Somebody asked me the other day, said, where you been preaching the gospel in the world? And I said, well, I've been to China. I've been to Thailand. I have been Africa twice. Man, God is blessed. I've been to Haiti. I've been down in Mexico. Boy, people are hungering for the Word of God. God wants us to go. Our business as a church is evangelism. It's to spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from the very beginning. There's that cry for evangelism, that we must go into all nations preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed. It's the same gospel. He didn't say, "I want you to change anything. Just talk. Just tell about me." You don't have to change anything about the Word of God. It's still fresh and it's still alive. And it speaks to the hearts of people no matter where we go. Problem is, we don't go, do we? Not like we should. I happened to be in Walmart the other day, and I saw a young person that grew up here. They hadn't been in our church in a long time, and I said, listen, we still love you, even though you hadn't been. Come on back. Now he's got a wife and children. I said, it's so important that they see Christ in you. You must lead your family towards Christ. Come on back to church. Get involved. I was talking to a doctor the other day and where I went to have some tests done. And told him about our church. He asked me where I was pastor at, and I was able to tell him about Gun Barrel City. I don't know if he'd ever heard about Gun Barrel City, but now he knows that there's a town. Now he knows about Jesus Christ. And I told him about how we reach out to different places in the world about Jesus Christ. That's what God says do. We sing, I love to tell the story. But do we go? Do we go next door and tell the story? This is our mission month, to tell the story, folks. Let it be known. You see, the Bible says before the flood, God looked at the world, God looked at the way things were going, and he says, you know, I think I'm just going to destroy mankind. They were so far from God. They had turned so far away from God, he just repented that he had created. He said, I'm going to destroy the world. And then he had Noah. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Folks, the Bible says in Hebrews, I love Hebrews 12, 1. It says, for we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Boy, I think of those witnesses today. We are surrounded. It kind of puts it out in a great coliseum, you know. And there we are. We're running our race, and this great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us are looking down, cheering us on. And we must run that race. We can't quit. I think about the Olympics. In 1992 in the Olympics, there was a man called Derek Redmond. He was running a 440. And he started out, he was a fast runner. He started out, and at about 150 yards, he tore his hamstring muscle, and he just fell flat on the circle there. He laid there in pain, in agonizing pain. And then he got up. And he started walking around that track. Tears were coming out of his eyes. He was in such agony and pain, but yet he was walking. His father jumped the banner there and run over into the track and said, son, you don't have to do this. And he said, yes, I do, Dad. And he said, well, if you're going to finish, I'll help you around. And he put his arm around his father's neck, and he started walking 440 meters to go around that track. They had all finished the race except him, and 65,000 people were standing and applauding as Derek Redmond finished the race. You see, that gives me an idea that such a great cloud of witnesses are looking at your life and my life, and they're cheering us on, and they're saying, finish the race. Continue on doing what I asked you to do. We must run the race. I think of all the great, I think of all the great men of God that have gone on before us. You see, in Hebrews 11, it's a faith chapter. There's a man called Noah. God says, I'm going to destroy the world. And Noah, he said, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Now, I'm sure Noah probably wasn't all that great a builder, but God was going to help him and give him the skills, I know, to build the ark. You know what he did? He started. He started building just like God told him to. I could have, if it had been us, we'd have probably said, but God, where's all my help? But did you know for 120 years, he worked day. People would come around and watch him and probably say, crazy old Noah. He's building this boat out here and it's not even no water. But Noah was faithful to God with every hammer, with every blow on that ark and with every board. He was a testimony of God's power and God's strength, and what God said would happen would come true. Folks, you and I must finish our race. We must endure. Oh, there's going to be tough times. There's going to be great trials in our life. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be sufferings. There's going to be losses. There's going to be deaths. There's going to be persecutions. And even some have died. But you know, in chapter 11, it says, by faith, they endured because of God's promise. Because of God's promise. There is a race today. You and I are racing. You know, I want to run. I want to run the race that God has given me because I have a place prepared for me in heaven. I haven't seen it, but I know it's there. God said it's there. He said, Booney, my name is Byron, but some of you visiting people don't know how to say Byron around here, so they just call me Brother Booney. He's going to say, Booney, finish the race for me. He says, I want him to say, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear Jesus say that about your life? Well, finish the race. Do what he's asked you to do. I want to finish the race to live forever with God. I want to finish the race to be to live for his righteousness and his justice in my life. I want to keep and commune and fellowship with God for all eternity. That's why we must endure. He's laid out a race for us. Noah was an evangelist who preached righteousness and built the ark that would deliver and save him and his family by simply following God's commandment in life. I think of another man named Moses. Moses was one who endured. Moses endured the race. His people, God's children, were in bondage. Next couple of weeks, I'm going to be preaching on a bondage, why they were in bondage, and why we're in bondage today. But God heard their cry. God heard their cry. And he had raised up Moses. Let me just show you what Moses said. Excuse me. I'm having a tough time today. By faith, Moses, when he came to age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. Moses could have had everything, couldn't he? He could have had all of Pharaoh's stuff, but he refused to be called his son, and rather he chose to be with his people. He chose to be with God. He wanted to run the race that God had called him to do. When God called him, said, Moses, pull off your shoes for holy ground. You're on holy ground. And then God said, Moses, I want you to go Oh, he had his excuses. I guess sometimes we have our excuses too. But you know what? God didn't want to hear that. He just wanted him to go. I will take care of you. Just trust me. There was Moses. And he went back and led the people to God, to their freedom from bondage. They saw the miracles of God in their life. Folks, if we'll just do what God asks us to do, we'll see the miracles of God in our lives and in our church and the people around. There was Jonah. You know Jonah? God said, Jonah, I want you to get up and go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach revival to those lost people. You see, God was concerned about Nineveh. He's concerned about all lost people. Right here in Gun Barrel City, there's lost people that will not make it to heaven unless we go out there and tell them about Jesus Christ. And somebody said, well, you think you can reach all of them? No. But I might. And if I just reach one, if you just reach one, just think how many people we have won in a year's time. Man. Then there's Amos. Amos, who cried out for Israel, prepare to meet God. Isaiah, he revealed the sinfulness of Judah. He revealed their sinfulness. And Daniel, he revealed the judgment of old Belshazzar. All of these men in the Old Testament were used by God. They were living in a dry land. Folks, let me tell you something. We're living in a dry land. America has become just a very dry land. Anytime you have people that want to abort our children, even after they're born, that's ungodly. It's just ungodly the way America has drifted away from God. And folks, we continue to drift away from God. And if the church doesn't stand up for God and do what God tells it to do, we're going to be taken over in bondage, just like God's children. I don't know about you, but I pray for America. I pray for our leaders, that God will send us the right one. Somebody asked me the other day, preacher, who are you going to vote for? I'm going to vote for the one that stands closest to Christ. I don't know if we got any great ones, but man, I'm going to stand on the one that is closest to Christ. Now you look at the facts. Folks, if we don't do something for Christ soon, it's going to be too late. Will you go? Will you go this morning? Listen to these statistics. From 12%, religious surveys say that in the past decade, it's dropped from 12% from 2009 to 2019, while those who claim to be atheists are up 26% from 17% in 2009. More are claiming to be atheists today than they were then. And folks, 2009, those who attended once or twice a month outnumbered those who attended occasionally by 52% to 47%. Now that has swapped. There's more who are not attending church today. Oh, it does me good to see our young people come in and our kids and bring them, because they're taking a stand in the world. You see? We must also take a stand as adults. Ezekiel said, son of man, God has set you and me as a watchman. What does the watchman do? He sits on the wall and he warns when the enemy is approaching. Folks, it's time for us to start warning. The enemy is approaching in our doors. Those cults are dragging our young people and young children away from Christianity. And we're losing the battle. If we don't start doing what we are supposed to do, it will be too late. Someone asked D.L. Moody one time, how in the world do you win so many people to Christ? And he said, I want you to come here. The man came there and he looked out his window and said, what do you see out that window? And he said, I see people walking back and forth to work. And Moody said, that's the difference between you and I. I see people going to hell unless I tell them about Jesus Christ. Folks, you can look out there in Gun Barrel City. You can look at Walmart. You can look at Lowe's. You can look at Brookshire's. You can look at the gas stations. What do you see? I see lost people dying and going to hell. Before the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was John the Baptist. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And he was preaching repentance. You know, we tell people to come get saved, and they come down and they get saved, but you need to tell them too. Listen, that's the beginning. Now turn your life around. That's what repentance is. We talked about that in Sunday school. I wanted to say something, but I figured I'd wait till this time. We turn our lives around from sin and we turn back to Jesus Christ. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of attitude about Jesus Christ. He's not our enemy. He loves us. And if you're here this morning, you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen, He calls for you to come this morning. He died on the cross. Today our churches are full, but the laborers are few. Jesus says the fields are full. Who will go? Who will go? God's word says, go as you go. Make disciples. Everywhere you go, you ought to be telling people about Jesus Christ. Letting somebody know about Jesus Christ. John rebuked the sin. And as Christians, we must stand against sin. We must stand. We must preach repentance. That's what John the Baptist did before Jesus came. And then there's Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus says, our Lord, I came to seek and to save those that were lost. You see, Jesus Christ invites the sinful people to come to Him and rest. And He invites you this morning to come to Him and rest. Find comfort in His call. On the day of Pentecost, oh Peter, people always say, well, you know, I'm so bad, I don't know if God can save me. Let me tell you something. If He can save Peter, He can do works with you too. Peter denied Him and said, I don't know. And he went away and wept bitterly. He repented and he didn't want to do that. Jesus Christ comes back and says, Peter, you know, brother, I knew you was going to do that. But I love you still. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, Peter. And then in the Bible, we read in Acts, he stood up and preached Christ. And let me tell you something, 3,000 souls were saved. You think he changed his mind? Yes, he changed his mind. He changed his ways. God can change your mind and change your ways if you will just let Him this morning. And it was Stephen, I love Stephen, in chapter 6 and 7 and he starts telling the people about Jesus Christ. He tells them about Jesus Christ. And he goes back, way at the beginning of the books of the Moses, and he just starts telling how God has done a work for his people. And he says, you have crucified him. You nailed him to the cross. Oh, they didn't like old Stephen. They stoned him to death. But as he was being stoned, he says, Lord, don't hold this against them. He forgave his enemies. Boy, he preached the word. If you just go back and read where he was preaching, he preached the word. People were saved. People were saved. It was Philip. I preached about him a few weeks ago, that honored God by preaching the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he saw the results of being obedient to Christ. God wants us as a church to be obedient. What can I do? Well, you can be obedient. You can be faithful to God. If you will, he will change your life. And Paul, he was a young man standing at, when they stoned Stephen, and they threw their clothes at his feet, and God got a hold of Paul. Man, he got him saved, and we have the books of the Bible in the New Testament we have today. He stood up and preached at Athens and preached justification by faith. He stood at Mars Hill and preached judgment by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He told people about Jesus. Now, folks, there's a great cloud of witnesses today. They're watching us as we run the race. I ask you now, after seeing such a great cloud of witnesses before you, will you go? Will you go? 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We must seek the salvation of the lost that they might be saved. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. The last words I heard my brother say before he died was, Booney, preach the word. Word. I've been doing that since 34 years now, since my brother passed away and is gone. But oh, he's in that great cloud of witnesses. And I can still hear him today cheering me on. I hear my father, he's gone to be with the Lord. Him and his son and daughter are there, and they're saying, run! Don't turn back. Don't turn back. I hear my uncle. He was just like a brother. The youngest one in mother's family. He was only a few years older than I am, but man, he told me, preach the word, Booney. Preach the word. Heaven's real. Heaven's real. He died of cancer, and that's what he kept saying. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. I hear their call. I hear God's call. You know what Jesus says? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But, he says, since I died on the cross, I shed my blood for you. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you're lost today, if you will just simply by faith come down and say, I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior, and you really mean that in your heart, and you want to turn your life towards Christ, he will change your life. It's amazing what God can do. My dear old uncle, I've told you about, not all of my uncles were Christian, but Uncle Raymond, my mother's brother-in-law, my mother's brother, you know, he became a Christian before he died. He was an old alcoholic, wasn't fit for nothing. But God so loved Uncle Raymond that he gave his son for that old drunk. And when he came to Christ, God changed his direction in life. And all he wanted to do was tell his old friends about Christ now. He's going to be in that great cloud of witnesses. And he's cheering me on. And last but not least is my dear grandmother, Ms. White. Ms. Janie White, all she did through her life as a little lady that didn't have a lot of money, but she had a love for Christ. She could speak Spanish, she could speak English. And she talked the Spanish that worked around Reclo there. She told them about Jesus Christ. They heard it through the message of a little old grandmother that could speak Spanish because she grew up in Laredo. I think she's in heaven today. And she's still wanting people to come to Christ. And she's cheering me on today. And she's saying, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Would you come to Christ this morning? And if you're here and you're saved, would you carry it to someone lost? Who will go? Isaiah says, here am I, Lord, send me. If you're saved, will you go? Maybe you're looking for a church home this morning, and this is the place God's led you. Will you come? Well, Jesus says in the last book, in the Revelations, the Spirit says come, the church says come, Jesus cries, come. There's no better day than right now to come. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much today for your blessings. And Lord, there's people right here in this service that need to come. They need to come for salvation. They need to come to rededicate their life. Lord, let your perfect will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen.